Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, 31-3. Bears get the win over the hapless Cleveland Browns at Soldier Field to move to 10-4 on the year. And there's a couple of big games coming up here today in the NFL that are certainly going to have an effect on where the Bears are seated after today. And, of course, we know the playoffs don't begin tonight. They begin in a few weeks. And Bears probably needing at least one more out of the next three.
In an abstract way, today was the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
I mean, we're in sudden death. And, hey, look, first and foremost, you're so apropos with your description, the hapless Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point, you know, and I know, OB, you say, hey, we're playing a bunch of junk teams and all that. Boy, did they go out and get this thing started the right way, popping out to a 14-point lead. And then, you know, we just basically stood around and watched the Cleveland Browns just melt down.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders, the jury's still out. We don't care. The bottom line is it was a big win. We did what we needed to do.
Well, yeah. Congratulations to the Bears, the whole organization, and more really to the fans that were out there.
Oh, yes.
And sat through that freezing cold weather and cheering all the way quarter after quarter.
They were.
Series of downs after series, play after play. So you people are just, you know what, give yourself a big upstanding ovation just for the fans themselves. It was a good win. It was, you know, I would have liked to see more things happen the first quarter and second quarter, Dan. What, at halftime it was 14-0. It should have been 44-0. But anyway, my God, that team that we play today, Danny, that quarterback for them, that kid Sanders, oh my God. That's all I have to say about him.
They have spent over $300 million trying to figure out who the quarterback is going to be. You know, Deshaun Watson fiasco, all that. We don't care.
Nope.
Bottom line is, here's the thing, Andy, and OB's point is, okay, we jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and then we monkeyed around, we flopped around, and at one point, with about 6 minutes left in the third quarter, it was still, I think it was 14-3. Now, think about this. Caleb rolls to his right and finds a great hookup with DJ Moore for a touchdown. It could have been interception. Should have been interception.
It was tipped, I think, at the end.
Okay. And then just a few plays later, we drive, you know, they get the ball back and they throw what looks to be a touchdown in the south end zone. And the ball bounces off of the receiver. Jalen Johnson is there to make the interception. That, think about that. That's a 14-point swing, and it could have been a whole completely different ball game. The bottom line is, Danny, Bears took care of what they needed to do.
Right. Exactly. Exclamation point. Right. But again, they've got the bounce of the ball, the calls. It's going on. This has been a year, an unbelievable year. I don't know when I can remember seeing a year of the bounce of the ball, the calls from the refs, and just crazy situations falling towards the Bears' way. So who knows how far they can take it, but I'll tell you one thing that should happen for Cleveland Browns, okay? It's a guy by the name of Jim Haslam. Jim Haslam. You know who he is, folks? He's the owner, okay? He should be forced to sell that team. When you look at how that team was put together and how it's been going from week to week and what you saw today by their coaching staff and the effort that the players put on the field, that was a disgrace. That was an absolute disgrace. Jim Haslam, sell the team and get the hell out of the NFL and get out of professional football. You don't deserve to be in it.
All right, we're going to take our first official timeout here of the Hamp and OB Show and come back with more. Your phone calls, welcome, 312-981-7200, 31-3, the Bears win. By the way, the game that we left to get to our show here, it looks like it's going to go in favor of the Chargers, who are leading 16-13 very late in Kansas City, about 15 seconds to go. Chargers have stopped the Chiefs. Pat Mahomes got hurt, and Gardner Minshew came in and it looked like he threw a pick to end the drive.
Yeah, so, that's what run him out of everywhere he's been.
Yeah, so 16-13. Chargers lead the Chiefs late, and we'll come back and dissect the Bears' 31-3 win over the Cleveland Browns. Coming up here in just a moment, Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Highlights courtesy of Fox Sports, who brought it today, is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. The defensive secondary of the Chicago Bears did bring it, in fact, today. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, with that pick that you heard there, we talked about the Jalen Johnson pick as well. And all's well that ends well as far as when they play good defense and they take the ball away. That's been the recipe, 30 takeaways.
Let me just jump in quickly. I'm going to give you my defensive player of the game, Cleveland Browns offense. That's it. Cleveland Browns offense, defensive player of the game.
And we had five
sacks. For the Bears.
Yes.
We had five sacks, but four of those sacks was what we would call coverage sacks.
Yep.
You know, where the quarterback had 5, 6, 7 seconds, and then somebody kind of falls on him and, you know, ends the play. Al Harris is the secondary coach, and you know, I've been talking about him now for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, and you saw on the sidelines they were isolating him on the camera, and so Moose Johnson, who they do a pretty good job,
Kevin Kubler.
They do a good job of covering the you know what's happening on the field, and it's not just all superlatives and oh he's doing great. They kind of you know were onto the fact that this secondary, despite a lot of crippling injuries, Kyler Gordon is now on IR, will not be back this year. You know, Jalen Johnson was back. We saw his pick. He has not played great, but he was in pretty good position when that ball bounced off the receiver into his lap. But all that being said, Al Harris has cultivated this coverage vigor where we are not only, you know, covering people, we are contesting the football and making great, you know, what would you call it? Schematical moves on that Gardner Johnson. He had the flat, but he understood that at that situation when the quarterback was rearing back, he said, hey, he's not coming here. I'm going to go ahead and sag, and made that great interception.
Maybe you can explain this better because I heard them talk about this. They were baiting Shedeur Sanders into some throws.
Yep.
Because he was locked in on one of his receivers, in particular number 44.
Yep.
And it was on that play that Gardner Johnson kind of laid in the weeds.
And Al Harris, obviously, he was always a pest and a menace when he played for the Packers. He has, again, cultivated that type of mentality. And these guys in the secondary, I know that when we used to rush the passer, OB, it was like a fist fight to get to the quarterback. Well, now the secondary members, they're playing with that type of you know, focal point, whereas we're not going to not only – you know, contest the receiver, we're going to get the ball. And it is such a great thing to see. And again, it translated back to the defensive line. Whereas in a lot of cases, great pressure creates opportunities for the secondary. Well, now the secondary is creating opportunities for the rush men to finally get to the quarterback after 5, 6, 7 seconds.
Well, Danny, I think the last few games are, well, you won't go through the first half of the season. And defensively, our defensive line, there was no line movement. There were no tricks played. And really, defensively, I don't think we blitzed a lot. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But then all of a sudden, we were sitting there screaming and screaming about it. Come on, let's get line movement, line tricks, coupled with linebacker blitzes, safety, strong safety blitzes, corner blitzes. And they finally started to come about, I'd say, a little at the start of the second half of the season. And I'll tell you what, that's when the defense really came alive. They came firing at you with cornerbacks, safeties, defensive line play, tricks, linebackers blitzing. I'll tell you what, that's what this game is about, creativity. And I think we've got the talent physically on our team, offensively and defensively. And I think we can really do something, but we're going to find out how really good we are, folks. The next three games are what I'm looking forward to really see. Is our offensive line, are they really doing the job they've been doing here the last half of the season? Is our defensive line, are they doing it? Our linebackers? and then most of all, our quarterback and our receivers. We're going to find out how good they all are here in the next 3 weeks, folks. And I'll tell you what, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking for some great, great play by the Chicago Bears and some great coaching by our coaches. Coach these kids up, because this next 3 weeks is going to tell you exactly where we're at.
Now, one of the subplots of this game was all the injuries the Browns were dealing with, especially on the offensive line. Now, that has a lot to do with the fact that we did get to the quarterback mm-hmm. five times. We did force some errant throws.
There's no question about it, Dan.
So, I mean, you got to take all that in.
Backups playing.
But your overarching point, which is, okay, it's great. I just looked up and I saw a graphic. It shows the Bears 10-4. 10 wins.
Yeah.
10-4. When was, you know, we saw it in 2018.
Yep.
Before that, it was a decade before that. So not only has this season.
When was the last time you saw that? I'd say 1985. That would be my guess.
Well, again, and all of this has led us to this point right now where we are setting the table for those next three games you talked about. Now,
the table is set. Let's see if they can finish the dinner.
There you go. And you know what? All year long, you know, you've made a point out of it, OB, how bad the competition is. And, you know, in a lot of those cases, we're barely
beating. Statistics speak for that, Dan. That's not me. That's the stats, buddy.
I got it. But my point being is we had not really put anybody away as bad as they were. Well, today, again, the first drive, we go down, score touchdown. The second drive, we go down and score touchdown. Now, in the middle, there was a bunch of meandering offense and this and that and some bad play by the Cleveland Browns and their quarterback. I got it. But the point being is we got off to a real good start. And other than, and you mentioned the blitz, on both of the big shots downfield that put them in a position, one for a field goal, and later on, where we got a big sack to knock them back out of field goal territory, the blitz was not able to get home, and Juwan Britzker was beaten twice on a deep post. And OB, that's backyards, you know, backlot football. You cannot have your free safety getting wore out like that, because that was too easy and too much to give up. And Brisker's much better than that. He's got to figure out what's going on.
Well, Dan, you know what? And it's a good thing. It's a good thing we played who we played today. It's a good thing we played who we played today.
Yep.
If you had an aggressive team, just like our other three teams in our division, they're aggressive teams. And you play an aggressive team, boy, you better be ready. And I'll tell you what, because they will attack downfield. They will challenge you, and they will test you.
Real quick, too, we were mentioning 10 wins for the Bears. The last time, in fact, was the 2018 12-4 Bears. But before that, you had to go back to 2012 for a 10-6 record, and that was the last year under Lovie Smith. Now, also, Matt Eberflus, in 2.5 years, won a total of 14 games. And right now, Ben Johnson
has... You said 2 years, 3 years.
Well, 2.5 is basically what it was, you know, with being fired at Thanksgiving.
Well,
so we're talking about 14 total wins.
But, you know, in a game like this, when you look at the score, what, 31-3?
31-3.
It looks like a blowout. You would think that we statistically would have really just mopped up the opposition.
Was it the halftime score 14-0?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it should have been 34-0.
Well, but, you know... Again, things that will haunt us the next 3 weeks. First and foremost in my mind is third down conversion percentage.
Bingo.
We're 5 of 13 today. And again, Cleveland, they have a great pass rusher. We know about that. We heard all day about it, yada, yada. Congratulations. But still, we were 5 of 13, less than 40%. And when you get into the playoffs, you better be expecting to be ginning out something closer to 50%, because that is what playoff football is about. It's about possessing the ball and keeping it and scoring.
That's our big problem, yep. Dan, all year is third down conversions. If you've said it, if I've said it once, I've said it 50 times. That's where our big problem is, third down conversion. And some, or sooner or later, folks, it's going to jump up and bite us right in the behind. And I'm telling you, and we got these three games coming up. I hope it doesn't happen. But let's just keep playing aggressive football. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's hope we can get through, at least win two out of the three.
F&OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. He's got the jukebox of hits rolling back there from 1979. A little Queen, We Will Rock You. Bears did it to the Cleveland Browns today. 31-3 was the final. If you missed the pregame show, we told you at the very, very end that Roma Dunze was declared out after the morning warm-ups. His foot re-aggravated, so that they will go ahead and evaluate him again tomorrow. But I tell you what, his absence really opened the door for several other players, including, as OB wisely pointed out in the pregame show, the tight ends, and DJ Moore actually had an appearance today.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a, well, thank you, Andy.
He was taking his bow, so I wanted to give him his kudos. You know?
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Anyways, yeah. Well, here, DJ Moore, Loveland, and Cole Kmet are two tight ends. You're going to pass today in this kind of weather. Those are the guys that are going to open it up for you. They were targeted between the three of them 14 times, and you had Moore caught five of targets. Loveland had five, and Kmet had four. 10 receptions, and that helped us move the ball. That helped us convert, and it helped us win the football game. That was a smart, smart move, using the tight ends, and especially with Adunze going down, you go to DJ Moore. He's the guy that can, he also can make things happen. He has showed it before, and all three of them showed it. That was nice to see.
And Luther Burden, who really got off to a real slow start this year.
Yeah.
Week after week after week,
he's targeted really, seven times and had five receptions, Dan.
Well, and he was the leading receiver. And see, so much of the time, a lot of people, you know, the number one receiver, when you look at, say, the Cincinnati Bengals, and everybody knows you got to, you know, worry about Chase. And then you got Higgins, who makes a living being the guy that doesn't get doubled that much. And then the third receiver is usually the guy that's single that really pops. And the quarterback goes to an awful lot. Well, Burden has now kind of emerged as not only maybe the second, but not especially the third receiver. He has supplanted Zacchaeus, but more importantly, the diversification.
Yep.
Where we're giving the ball opportunities to all these different players. It makes it so much harder for a defense to concentrate on just one.
And then you add the running games to the mix too. It's crazy.
Speaking about the running games. I'll tell you what, our opponents, the Cleveland Browns today, folks, four quarters of football, running the football, 50 yards. 50 yards. And in passing, they were 18 of 35 for 177 yards. And by the way, Sanders, their quarterback, his rating was 30.3. How embarrassing. Yeah. How unbelievably low could anybody hit a number that bad in the NFL in the year 2025. That is beyond pathetic.
Well, good news for Caleb Williams. In my mind, there's a handful of throws that he obviously, and he you could tell by his like shaking his head in disgust. He knows he's got to clean that up, but he had a good day, 17, 28, 242 yards, a rating of 112.2, which is easily his best of the last six, seven games. So, again, going into the playoffs, which I'm saying starts Sunday.
The next 3 weeks, Dan. Yeah.
Or Saturday.
Yep.
Well, it's the playoffs may start in January for everybody else. In my mind, they start Saturday night right here at Soldier Field.
I agree with you.
And let's talk about this. The last month, we've talked about the deficiency of the defensive line, how they have been inept. They have not made plays. They have not forced bad plays. They haven't done any. Well, we wind up getting five sacks today. holding the opposition to only 50 yards rushing, they did probably their best job of the season. And when Caleb coming in, throwing for a couple of touchdowns and a quarterback rating of 112.5, that's .5, mm-hmm. that's the best he's been since
been a while.
The Dallas game.
Yeah.
So all in all, the two facets of this football team that you and I worry about, OB, because we know with the offensive line, with the running game, with the secondary, with all the different, we feel pretty good about that. But we were worried about those two aspects, the defensive line and the quarterback. Today, we got the best we've seen since September.
Thank the Cleveland Browns for that one.
Real quick, the Lions have taken a 7-0 lead on the Rams. Aiden Hutchinson picked off a pass from Matthew Stafford and rumbled and rumbled. And the very next play, Jared Goff hits Amon-Ra St. Brown for a touchdown. So it's 7-0 Rams. 7-0 Lions over the Rams. They're in the first quarter in L.A.
Okay, real quick. All you listeners out there, how many times have you listened to us in how many years where OB is screaming and kicking and knocking the
knocking
when
equipment
we
down.
Get a turnover, he goes, throw it in the end zone. Go for it. And we did today.
Did it today.
We roll out and catch DJ Moore in the – I mean, it had to put a big smile on your face.
My, look at what happens when you try to do it.
It wasn't like yelling. I said, throw it to the end zone. Throw it. Let's go do it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just ready to say, yeah. You jumped in front of me and said, throw it to the end zone.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful throw and catch. Obviously, you know, anyone watching it could see the Cleveland Browns, they were inept. I mean, they could have picked it off. They didn't. Yep. Two guys
Danny,
right there.
I got to ask you a question, and Andy, you too. Their quarterback, that kid Sanders, on a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you give him today?
Today, I'd probably give him about a 3.
I'd say 2.
Yeah.
But here's one other thing.
My, this kid.
Hey, that's their problem. We don't care. Yeah. Hey, it's in the books. We're moving on.
We'll take it.
But OB.
But it's something to talk about, Danny. Well, you know, you're not playing against, you know, whoever. You're playing against a kid.
Correct.
I have no idea what he's doing in the NFL. None. And I mean that from the knowledge that I have and the years that I played. What the hell this kid's doing at quarterbacking the team in the NFL, I have no idea. He is not qualified.
Today there was also a little bit of, what would you call it? Turnabout is fair play. DeAndre Swift's touchdown in the north end zone there in the fourth quarter. You remember last week where Montez Sweat, Gervon Dexter, and I think it was, I can't remember who the linebacker was, but they had Jacobs and they don't tackle him.
Yeah, they have dead rights.
And he turns and runs to the 6 yard line, about 25 yards. Well, today, DeAndre Swift had the similar type of an effect where he was stopped not once but twice by a gaggle of Browns, and yet he fought his way off the tacklers and scored a touchdown. Man, I got to tell you, it's the best run of the year by anybody.
I agree with you 100%. That was you talk about a player not giving up. And by the way, you got Manungai and we got Swift, and I like both of those runners. I tell you, I don't know which one's better than the other one, but boy, they both run hard, and they both have speed. They have quickness. Speed and quickness and that desire that they show.
Well, that was power.
Danny, yep. they'll fight you. They don't want to go down, and they keep doing it. And I'll tell you what, that is hard to find in a running back anywhere, to have speed, to have the heart, and the never-give-up attitude. Those two guys are terrific. They really are.
One of the things that, again, as we head into this three-game playoff to get into the playoffs,
correct.
You really and think about this.
Hey, Dan, you know what?
When Ben Johnson when Ben Johnson came, we all talked about the two-headed monster running game of Detroit, how that really worked with Gibbs and Montgomery. He's kind of recreated.
He's got it, yeah.
Right here. Did we all see this coming?
No. Nope.
I didn't. Did you?
No, let me tell you something. The last three games we got against are against pretty good football teams. Two out of the three, guess where we're playing them?
Right here.
Right here, folks. Right here, right on the lakefront. Two out of the last three. They're all have terrific records, and they do have quality teams and quality coaching, okay? And I'm going to tell you what. This is really something to see the Bears coaching staff and to see the players if they can put together one, two, three, and take these teams down. And what I love about it, two of the three are right here.
312-981-7200. That is our telephone number. And the Bears win at 31-3 over those Cleveland Browns. We'll take a timeout, come back with your phone calls, and talk more about the Bears' victory and what lies ahead here for the Bears in the next 3 weeks. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Real quick, before we move along here, a huge thanks again, as always, to Jake Melnix for the great food spread that we had while watching a very fine ball game here today. Melnix, your downtown sports bar destination, 41 East Superior in Chicago. They brought us about 75 varieties of wings today, some pork sliders. We had some good salad, too, today.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you expect the wings. You expect maybe the sliders, but not the myriad of different combinations that we could make a salad with.
Oh, my goodness.
Radishes and olive, all
pickles,
really,
and carrots and really good dressings, all and all that kind of stuff.
Came up, if there was one dressing, there had to be
50 of them,
different.
Yeah. So a big thanks to Jake's again. JakeMelnix.com for more information. It's always game on at Jake's. Bears win it 31-3 today over the Cleveland Browns.
You know what? The Cleveland Browns, what they did today, folks, or excuse me, I'll take that back. What our defense did, our coaching and our defense did to the Cleveland Browns was unbelievable. At four quarters of football, they ran for 50 yards, folks, with an average of, 3.1 yards. And in passing, we get up 177 yards and 50 yards. That's what you do to a bad football team. That's what you do, and you don't let them score. And we hit all those buttons.
So Sanders, he finished with 177 yards through the air. Two plays accounted for more than half of that.
Yep.
Almost 90 yards to Bond. Those two bombs were Brisker was sleeping. And, you know, obviously those situations are very easily corrected. But all that being said, that's what you worry about in a game with a dog like this. You know, you're thinking, you're going to play patty cakes and they're going to jump up and bite you. Here's the one thing that I was real happy about. Penalties. We have really done a good job. Remember when we were screaming about penalties? 9, 10, 12 a game, blah, blah, blah. Today, only 4. And folks, I was on that field. It was really cold, real cold. Would have been easy for everybody to kind of lose their mind and start jumping off sides and doing different things. Well, we only had 4 for a total of 25 yards. There were a number of games we were at 100 yards penalized. So good for the Bears. They brought their focus. They brought concentration. But more importantly, we played with a great purpose. And, you know, I was wrong. I thought it was the first two drives. We had an early 3-and-out.
Yeah.
Then the next two drives, we put together touchdown drives. And, you know, we kind of went to sleep until late in the second half.
Danny, the one negative I have is the entire first half, which I think it's been coming. It's more of a problem from week to week to week. Okay, in the first quarter, second quarter, we had 14 points. They didn't have any, but the halftime score, folks, was 14-0. Now, that's a team that you should be dominating, running, passing, defense, interceptions. You just annihilate this team. We let them hang around. And you cannot do that to teams with winning records. To teams with winning records. And we're coming up. Our last three games, all three teams have winning records. And they have some pretty quality quarterbacks playing and some pretty quality offensive and defensive players. Okay? So this is going to be one hell of a test. And this is going to tell us, our listeners, this is going to tell us exactly who we are. But the thing I like about it is, which I mentioned about 5-10 minutes ago, of these three games, two of them are here. Two of them are right here.
Yeah, they're bookends. It's the game against the Packers Saturday, then it's at San Francisco, and then home against the Lions.
Home against the Detroit Lions. To play that kind of competition, and you've got two out of the three here at home, it doesn't get any better. And the way things have been falling all year long, the schedule, the quality of teams that we've played, I'll tell you, I'm hoping here that these last three games, I'd like to see some really, really good things happen. But I'll tell you what, the coaches, you got to have these kids ready to play, and you guys got to give everything you have. Everything that you've got in the tank, you got to empty it out the next three games.
You know, Andy,
get you ready for the playoffs.
Absolutely. And you know, on one hand, you say, hey, this is really some good stuff by the defense. Mm-hmm. They're only playing who's on the, you know, the opposition side. We can't control that. But we forced three and outs. They had six straight punts to start the game. I don't know if I've ever seen that. We forced Cleveland to punt the first six times they had the football. Now, all that being said, yeah, it's Shuter, Sanders, it's this, it's that. But still, they're getting paid, just like everybody else, to be able to go out and do that. You don't see that very often.
Well, Danny, I thought the first half score, in the back of my mind, when halftime gun went off, I thought the score would be basically really like 28-0, or maybe give them a field goal. But I really thought it would be 28, maybe minimum, to nothing.
Well, in the second half,
14, and again, not to talk in circles, but I'll tell you what, you can't let your opponents hang around. You got to put the dagger in them and get it over with.
Well, we did kind of go to sleep in the second quarter. We had a drive where
we
went 70 yards. We got stalled down close to the red zone. We brought in Cairo Santos. He makes a bad kick.
Yep.
And then after that, we had one other three and out and punted. And then it was the end of the half, and nothing really came out of it, and we decided just to go in. So, you know, again, and we can nitpick all we want, but the headline out of this game was that we went out and didn't think about the weather. We didn't think about the opposition. We thought about doing things proper and getting a lead and finding a way to win. And really, that's the big story.
I'll tell you, when we had the ball on Cleveland's 49, right at the end, just before the gun went off to end the first half, folks, we had the ball first and 10 on Cleveland's 49-yard line. And we had two timeouts, 18 seconds to go. I'd still like somebody to tell me, Ben Johnson, our coach, runs it down to 3 seconds.
Yep.
We had two timeouts, folks, to go, 47 yards to either get a field goal or a touchdown 18 seconds ago, and we had two timeouts, and we're on their 49-yard line, and he runs the clock all the way down. Is there anybody? I was dumbfounded. You remember, Andy?
Yeah, we looked at each other thinking what was going on.
Did I just see what I thought I saw? 18 seconds to go, we're in our opponent's side of the field, and we have two timeouts, and you let the clock run down to 3 seconds? What the hell are you thinking about? Danny, you have anything to say?
Well,
I can't.
Okay,
it's stunning to me.
Okay, just like we talked in the pregame about how he had to come back and revise his admonition of his quarterback and the passing offense. The first series of the second half, we get the ball at the 47, and we go for it on 4th-and-1.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
We don't
either.
Get it.
I didn't get that.
So I think he was trying to make up for it right there, Andy.
Exactly. All right, much more coming up here on the Bears win 31-3 over the Cleveland Browns. We're going to take a timeout for the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and come back and break things down a little further for you here. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago. Ben Adams, defensive player of the game, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, DeMarco Jackson, who we didn't know his name until about the middle of this season. You talk about next man up, DeMarco Jackson getting an opportunity. He played defensively with Dennis Allen in New Orleans and has now made a big impact with the Chicago Bears.
He was hanging out on the practice squad, OB, and then, you know, just like Nashawn Wright's come out of nowhere to lead the interception and
takeaways.
That's
how you win, guys.
Yeah.
Next man up.
And Gardner Johnson. Gardner Johnson, a fabulous interception today, and he's fourth on the team in tackles. So, I mean, these nobodies come out of nowhere, and, man, they're playing big ball.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. As the Bears win at 31-3, plenty of room for it if you want to jump on in. Let's head out to the phones. What do you say? Let's go out to Des Plaines and say hi to Mitchell. Mitchell, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. One thing that I want you to just kind of analyze is that over the last 2 years with Caleb Williams, you have to realize that he does not throw a deep ball. And he doesn't do it because he's used to a spread offense. And what happens is he's not used to taking any snaps from under center. And if you watch every game, he has very short passes that are off schedule that somehow make it work. But when it comes to basically spreading out the offense and throwing deep balls that would touch and torque and zip, it fails miserably. Now, there was a former USC quarterback, Dan, that played every snap under center that was probably had the strongest arm in the Chicago Bears history, which you played with, was Vince Evans. My point is this, is that if they start ascending and playing better teams, every game, Khalid, you can't change those techniques. It's like trying to change a drummer's style. Either it's a work with either ears, here's what it comes down to, Dan and OB. Either Ben Johnson and his cerebral, offense has to go to a spread offense, or this is not going to work, Daddy-O. You hear what I'm saying here?
Well,
thank you, Mitchell.
Yeah, Vince had a big arm, no question about it. Unfortunately, interceptions were a problem. But there's no question, OB, that and you can say however you want to describe Caleb, he has a knack for making amazing throws, but some of these on-schedule deep patterns he struggles with. He struggled with them, when he walked in last year as a rookie, and he hasn't really improved. Just think if it's possible with Ben Johnson and Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator, if they could cultivate that, how much better this offense would be.
Well, the one thing what Mitchell and what we're talking about here, and which has been, Dan, all last year, and for the most part all this year, is our quarterback's accuracy. You had a week ago, folks, our head coach called him out about his accuracy. And it is a problem with him. And I don't know, and I do not know how you solve that problem or how you make it work better. I do not know, except for maybe one thing. Utilize your tight ends, go to the 7-8 yard passes, throw to those big guys, and then see how that goes. If it works, you open it up and then move downfield a little bit at a time. But he does have an accuracy problem, and all you have to do is quote the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and he pointed it out. He does have an accuracy problem.
The two things about that is, and I remember, 3 weeks ago, Tom Brady, he made a couple of comments, and he said, you can't throw yourself out of a slump, and meaning a quarterback was struggling to, throw the ball accurately. And I don't know. I was never a quarterback. But all that being said, again, I have seen so many amazing throws in just this 2 year, stint that we've seen from Caleb, that you would think some of those easier throws that he would be able to master, but he hasn't. And I don't know why. Has to do with fundamentals, footwork, maybe, a lack of confidence. I don't know. But you're exactly right. A lot of times he's not on target.
Danny, it's not, if you're saying it, if I'm saying it, here you got the head coach of the Chicago Bears making that statement. Okay. And sometimes things are what they are. And again, can that be worked out? Can he get better? We're going to find out here in the next 3 weeks, folks. We're truly going to find out.
My question about Caleb to you guys is, last year we saw him out of the shotgun so many times, and it sets it up so that he can see the entire field right away. Now he's been under center so many times, he's going back with his back to the defense, and that's been a big thing to kind of watch. Have you seen development and progress in that respect?
It hasn't come that quick.
Okay.
No. And again, so many quarterbacks, you know, they grow up taking the snap under center, and they kind of have like a pre-snap read in their head, and they're able to kind of process in that little second or so till he gets back to his depth where he, you know, sets up to throw the ball. For whatever reason, Caleb, again, he never took the snap under center. This is all a brand new process. And hey, there's a lot to be desired, but you can only hope that, you know, he will find it out
soon. These next three games is the close of the second year with him, okay? And if any time he's got to step up to the plate, he's got to step up to the plate, and he's got to take control and make things happen. And for him running the ball to the strong side, to the weak side, when he's trying to escape the pocket, all well, fine, and good, okay? But you throw to win in this league. And what greater time for him to show that he can throw and belongs as a quarterback, a top quarterback in this league, than these next three games, of which, in his favor, two out of the three are right here at home.
All right, we're going to take a timeout, come back and talk more about the Bears' win. Let's get you the scoreboard real quick here. Packers lead the Broncos 6-0 that game in Denver, where the Broncos have won 10 straight games overall. They're in the second quarter there. Lions have a three-point lead on the Rams, 10-7. They're about midway through that second quarter as well. Other game we're watching is the 49ers lead the Titans 14-10. That game in Santa Clara, and they're about 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. The 49ers are the road game of those three that we have coming up with the Bears. That's the middle of the three games.
I just saw a guy that does not have a problem throwing the ball down the field. Stafford just hit Puka Nacua on the sidelines for about 40 yards.
Yeah, nice dime right there.
Unbelievable.
All right, back with more of your calls, 312-981-7200. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears head coach Ben Johnson following a 31-3 win over the Cleveland Browns. Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Two things that really jump out at me again, you know, and he's talking about completion percentage, and that has, you know, a combination of factors. You know, there was one ball that right at the end of the first half, Caleb threw a hell of a ball to Luther Burden, and he doesn't catch it.
Right.
I mean, okay, it's 10 below wind chill, all that, but he put it on the money. The second thing is, you know, when you figure in the drops, there is a certain, and it's like shooting free throws. If somebody can make five in a row, why can't they make six? You know, you see it in the NBA night after night. You know, it's one of those, you know, you got to just be able to have patience and keep putting it, you know, on the money. And the other part is, I think 6-7 weeks ago, we were talking about that he was doing a poor job, meaning Caleb, throwing a runner's ball.
Yep.
And he has improved on that. There was one throw to Colston Loveland. Then he made, he made two amazing catches today. And I got to, folks, look, we like Cole Kmet. He's a good player. But I'm telling you, Colston Loveland in a year could be the best tight end in all of football. And I'm talking about Brock Bowers, Hunter,
George
Kelsey, anybody. And right now, would I trade him for any other tight end in the NFL? No, I would not. And your point, again, throwing has a certain level of confidence that goes with it. And the more he throws to Colston Loveland, the more confident he has to become, because that guy's making great catches.
Yes, he is.
It's up to our offensive coordinator to develop a passing game where we utilize our tight ends more. I mean, I'm sitting there screaming about it game after game, year after year. Why don't we use it? And now we're starting to use them a little bit more. But I just think that jumps out at me, Danny. This Cleveland Brown team is so bad. The first half of football, on third down conversions, they were 1 of 6. They had 18 plays. Total yards, folks. We let them 57 yards running and passing. This is a professional football team. 57 yards. That I can't even find words for that. Except for Jim Haslam, sell the damn team. Get out of football. You don't belong in it. You put together a franchise like the Cleveland Browns and what they look like this year and what they've been, you're a disgrace.
We're going to get a bunch of Cleveland Browns fans calling saying, yes, someone's saying the truth.
Well, so we obviously were in a, I don't want to say in a bit of a little dogfight. It was 14-0, then 14-3. Then we got the interception by DeMarco Jackson that he returned to the 22. And first play, we did a boot, rolled out of the pocket to the right, and he hooks up with DJ Moore. And it's good to see DJ Moore get out of this funk he was in. And again, back to Rome Odunze. My buddy with the Bears, Matt Simonin, he told me that of all the young players, that's his favorite.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're pulling for Rome, and we don't know what he's dealing with this. What was some kind of a hairline fracture?
Yeah, a stress reaction in his foot. And I don't know. They talked about him being out on the field going through regular warmups without the team to see if he was going to be able to play. And apparently he cleared that. And then was not able to get out of the locker room back onto the field when the team actually took the field for warmups.
Well,
and they declared him out.
And again, here we were talking about deficiencies in certain parts of the passing game when your bona fide number one hasn't been on the field the last 2 weeks. So in a big picture way, how good would Joe Burrow look without Jamar Chase? How good would Jordan Love look without Christian Watson? I mean, it matters, folks. And those are your game breakers, your home run hitters. And when they're not there, then it falls into a category of kind of mix and match and try to do the best you can.
Yeah, we saw Dak Prescott without CeeDee Lamb for most of the game here in Chicago that game, and it was awful.
It stunted. I mean, their entire offense was derailed. And
this has been a magical year, as far as I'm concerned. A magical year. From quarter to quarter, from game to game, the bounce of the ball, the call of the refs, it certainly has been in our favor, and that's nice to see. And wouldn't it be nice to see to take care of business the next 3 weeks coming up and get in to the playoffs, win the playoffs, and go to the Super Bowl and take somebody down? Boy, you want to talk about a fairy tale ending to a very questionable season the way we started out? I tell you, that would be terrific. Now, could that possibly happen? Yes, it could possibly happen.
Yeah, real quick, before we get too far down the road, let's get to our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. We'll go back to that DeMarco Jackson interception. It was big, as we pointed out at the time. It was still a ball game, and then the Bears did the unthinkable, and they go right to the end zone on the first play after the quick change and get the score.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And you know what, OB? The next time that happens, and say it happens next week against Green Bay, you know that Caleb and everybody on that offense is going to be saying to Ben Johnson, all right, give us the green light. Let us do it again. That's the way it works.
That worked before I played. That situation worked when I played, and it's still working today. When you get a turnover, something like that, what do? You go for their throat. You go for the striker. Was back in the day, it was called the striker. You go for the striker. You go for the touchdown. Throw it into the end zone. And for some reason, it works more often than it does not. And I don't know why. I think you catch a team that, you know, once you get a turnover, you catch a team, the defense coming on. I don't know if they're not set or ready or whatever happens. But I'll tell you what, when you're in a position strategically where you can throw the ball in the end zone from a turnover, do it.
Should we be giving Ben Johnson and his staff some kudos also for getting a young team like the Bears to not look past an awful team like the Browns, because the Packers are right there, and everybody knows that they wanted to get back at the Packers for what happened at Lambeau.
I would have to think, you know, they get really high marks. And again, the first series, 3 and out. Then they put together 2 beautiful drives, and Caleb was throwing the ball well. All the things that you want to see, especially in a game like this where you're playing against an inferior opponent, you want to go ahead and flex and go for their throat. And we were able to, you know, jump up 14-0. Now, again, we talked about the second quarter. It was lights out. We didn't know what we were doing half the time. Finally, in the fourth, we bounced back, scored on 2 successive drives. And, you know, anytime you score 4 touchdowns in a game, I don't care if it's against, you know, Sisters of the Poor, that is good quality offensive football. And I know you, OB, you'd like to see it 40-0 at halftime, but again, the Cleveland Browns, they still have certain components on their football team, and they played hard. I'll tell you what, Garrett, he impressed me today the way he played in a relentless fashion. And then, unfortunately, I was
watching. That's 1 out of 53 on the team, Dan.
Yeah.
And I can't buy what you're saying. That's a god-awful football team. Poorly coached. They were not ready to play offense. They weren't ready to use their passing game, their running game. My God, their offensive line. They were a pathetic football team, and we took care of business. The only thing that I don't like about it is the first half, it was 14-0 at half. It should have been, at minimum, double that, because you don't want to play and let people hang around, because more often than not, up pops the devil at the end of the game and you lose. When you get them down, put them away.
Agreed. Real quick on a scoreboard update. Lions have just taken a 17-14 lead against the Rams. Amon-Ra St. Brown with another touchdown delivered from Jared Goff. 17-14 Lions lead the Rams with 6:10 to go in the second quarter there. Broncos lead the Packers 7-6. That game rolling toward 4 minutes to go in the first half.
You know, the very interesting part of that game, number one, remember, those two teams swapped quarterbacks.
Right.
Stafford went to the Rams and Goff went to the Detroit Lions. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works out, plays out. But we're going to have to see, you know, again, we're going to have to see Detroit the last game of the season. And if we do eventuate into the playoffs, sooner or later, the Rams are going to be lurking.
Yeah, Rams are right now top of the NFC. And again, this is a home game for the Rams. So anything is still possible in this one. We're still early. First half. Other games we're kind of looking at just to kind of keep an eye on. 49ers, which is the middle of the three opponents, the lead the Titans 14-10. That game under 2 minutes to go in the first half. And tonight, a kind of an interesting game as well, because the Vikings still feel like they might have an outside, really outside, at 5-8. They're taking on the Cowboys at 6-6-1 tonight.
Where's that game at?
That game's in Dallas, so that's the Sunday night game. But again, this NFC is so bunched up. We'll just kind of keep an ear and an eye to things for you and let you know what's going on before we get out of here at 5 o'clock tonight.
You know what, Andy? What you just said, there's like really somewhere, isn't there always like one team more often than not that is really dominant?
Yep, heads and shoulders above.
I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see it.
It's very.
Neither conference.
It's very full of parity.
And think about this. On the AFC side today, the New England Patriots had a 21-0 lead, and they lose.
They lost to Buffalo.
Up pops the devil.
They lost?
Yep.
To Buffalo. Buffalo came back and beat them.
35-31 was the final there in New England.
That quarterback at Buffalo, wasn't he the MVP of the league?
Yep, Josh Allen.
Yes, he was. And he's playing like it now.
Yes, he is.
The last 3 weeks, he has played off the charts.
All right, we're going to step aside for the news. Come back with our final 30 minutes. Bears win it 31-3 over the Cleveland Browns at Soldier Field. 312-981-7200 if you want to discuss it with us. Hammond will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Blow 21-0 lead.
They showed us how, I guess. Hammond will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I think in a roundabout way, he's saying that they have experienced a lot of different things in the last few weeks, and they're ready for all of them. I think I summed that up in about 3 seconds.
Well, and Okay, all that's good and fine. And he's correct. There has been a lot of strange bounces of the ball, this and that. Bottom line, we are like at the precipice of the playoffs. And, you know, when you're in September or October, you want to make the playoffs. You want essentially, we are in the playoffs. Now, the official ones don't start till January. But this team, they've got to find a way to win one, if not two more. What would it be like to walk out of here with three in a row?
Well, if they could win two out of the three, Dan, that would be a confidence builder. Not only for the players, but for the coaches. For the coaches, they're the ones that put everything offensively and everything defensively and everything on special teams. They put it into play from week to week to week. They're the ones that have to set the tone. And once you set the tone, the players will take care of business. But you've got to set the tone. You've got to put them in a winning play offensively and a winning play defensively. You have to do it. That's what you're paid millions for. Put these kids in the proper manner to win. Not to go out and lose a game, but to go out and win from week to week to week. That's what the hell you get paid to do. And as a quarterback, what are you paid to do? You're paid to score points. You're paid to win, as is every other player on that team. But you're the man that touches the ball every play. You're the man, the quarterback. So you're the guy. You talk about one person stepping up to the plate. He's the person that has to step up to the plate.
So according to NFL.com right now, after the Bears win today, they have a 66% chance of the playoffs at this particular point. They have moved up temporarily to the number six spot. That's, of course, pending the outcome of the 49ers game here today and also the Seahawks game. Seahawks are currently in fifth. There's several teams that are pretty solidly in. And the Packers are pretty solid at this point, the Rams, the Eagles. Right now, the Panthers and the Bears are the two more tenuous spots. The Panthers are currently fourth. They're playing right now against New Orleans. If they win, they're still only at 63%. If they lose, their probability goes down to 25%. So they're almost out with a loss here today. The Bears, again, at 66%, have already won here today.
The one thing that really jumps out is how, and again, here it comes back at us. How important is the Green Bay matchup next Saturday night?
Huge.
And folks, obviously the networks, the NFL, they realized this, what, 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And moved that game from a Saturday 3:25 start to
7:20.
The 7:20, the night game.
On Saturday.
Wow. On Saturday. And then we play the 49ers the following Sunday night.
At the same time.
So, I mean, this is it. And again, this is why you play for it to get real.
Yeah.
And it's real right now.
All right, let's get to a quick call here before we take our next break of the evening. 31-3, Bears the winner today over the Cleveland Browns. Bob and McHenry is joining us. Bob, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hello again, guys. I'm going to make this quick. OB, you were just talking about, you know, how the Bears are getting a bounce of the ball and a cause of the rest. And, Hap, you talked about that earlier. But you remember the movie Angels in the Outfield?
Oh, that baseball movie, yeah.
Yeah, do you think maybe the Bears might have angels in the backfield?
Divine intervention?
Gil and Walter and Brian, and then you got Doug and Dick and Dave Duerson, Bill George. That's just food for thought.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob. You know, do I think that that's possible? I don't know that much of the hereafter. But I'll tell you what, though. I kind of like what you said. I really do. And those are nice thoughts that you had, and I'm glad you called and expressed it, because those are some of the greatest players in the history of this franchise, and you named them, and maybe they're pushing for us to get us to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Nothing else counts.
So what was interesting this past week, I was doing some research, and the last really, really cold game was played in 2013. It was a night game, and Josh McCown was the quarterback, and we won the game, and it made the Bears were on a course of becoming an 8-8 team under Lovie Smith. Now, from that day that the Bears go 8-8, since then in 2013, how many winning seasons have the Bears had other than this one, OB, since 2013?
Oh, I don't know.
One.
2018.
One. 2018. Yeah. Now, all that being said, who knows? This is, you know, and again, think about this right now, tonight. If you were to have a poll conducted by, say, the top 100 football writers in America, who would the NFL Coach of the Year be? And I'll give you three candidates.
Okay.
Ben Johnson. How about Cohen down in Jacksonville?
Right.
They're now 10-4.
Correct.
They lead that division. And Mike Vrabel, who is 10-4 of the New England Patriots. All three first-year coaches.
Right.
When have you ever seen something like that? First-year coaches with that franchise, and not only are they, you know, in a position to you know, win more than 10 games, but be a factor in the playoffs. So, I mean, this we're on kind of uncharted territory. I've never, you know, I remember Dick's first year. I think we were 6-10 or I can't remember, 8-8 maybe. But I'm just saying, to be in a position to kind of control your destiny in December, that is unheard of.
And we
in
are.
The first year.
We're
we
in
are.
Control.
We
Why?
Are.
Because of the schedule. It's worked out. Last three games, tough opponents, but we're playing two out of three, right? I mean, yeah, the last three games, two of the three, right here, right on the lakefront.
And all three are involved in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All three NFC opponents. So, I mean, this is, you got to tip the cap. And it goes back to what I think.
You know, Dad, all they got to do, Danny, you know what? And they know, you know it, I know it, and he knows it, and our listeners know it. You know what? It's not a problem. The situation is, meet the challenge. That's what you're playing this game for, to be a world champion. And you've got three games to start the fire really burning. And two of them are here at home. Take care of business.
You know, one of the things that the last month or so, I've brought up the fact that they keep stats about halftime adjustments and this and that and EPA and all these different quotients that, you know, oh, well, the Bears, their offense has been one of the very best at adjusting at halftime. And people say, well, you don't really adjust, blah, blah, blah. Something's happening.
Yeah.
And all that being said, that means that Ben Johnson and his staff have a pretty good finger on the pulse of what did or did not work in the first half. Look at Green Bay last week. We played dead in the first half. Second half, we had, what, 247 yards of total offense in the second half.
Yep.
So we had things going. It was a little bit too late. But all that being said, look at it like this. The Green Bay matchup, now Ben Johnson has a week to make adjustments.
Yes, he does.
Think about that.
Not 20 minutes to make the
a
adjustment.
Whole week.
Exactly right. All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to take a timeout here, our final one, and then we'll come back and get you set for our next game. Again, that is against the dreaded Green Bay Packers twice in the span of a couple of weeks, and we'll get you ready for that one as well. 312-981-7200.
Yeah, real quick here, folks. Green Bay's not coming down here to lose, folks.
No, they're not.
We got to be at the top of our game.
Amen to that. Hamp and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hamp and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. One of a couple of touchdowns for DJ Moore. Good to see him back in the fold and in the mix of things here today as the Bears win at 31-3 over the Cleveland Browns. Andy Mazur with the guys here in our final segment. We do have a couple of calls lined up, or at least one call I see here lined up. Let's get right out to them. Let's get out to Elmhurst and say hi to Kevin. Kevin, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, Hamp and OB, how are you guys doing? I think the coaches are really listening to you about utilizing the tight ends. I believe they have a great team. You need them. you need them a lot. I mean, a 4-yard outlet pass can pick you up 12. And they got some great tight ends. You know, they had, you know, Komet for 5 years, 6 years now. And with Loveland, I saw both of them in the backfield today, which was awesome. So I think to really move past and get into the playoffs, you need them.
Well, between the two tight ends, you know, they were targeted, like 9 times. And D.J. Moore was targeted 5 times, and he caught 4 passes. And I'll tell you what, if we're going to be effective these next coming three games, Kevin, we have to use Komet and Loveland on a steady diet. On a steady diet, that'll open it up for D.J. Moore and a doozy. We've got to convert on third down. That's one of our big stumbling blocks. And the only way we're going to do it that I see is throw to the tight ends. You got your white, and once we start utilizing that, and then we start going to play action, we're going to be a pretty tough team to compete with. If we can utilize the tight ends, that's the key to us winning a football game. 3 games here on out, we use those tight ends like I think we should use them, which is a minimum of 12 to 15, 16 targets. We will win these games.
And you look at the Green Bay defense, they're a smaller bunch. And obviously, I really feel like the run game has to be really featured next week. But all that, the play action combination of play action to the tight end is a backbreaker.
It's giant, Dan.
Oh, it's huge.
I can't understand why the hell these coaches can't figure that out.
And, you know, I look all over the league and you see the highlights and you see tight ends. So they'll post the defensive end and the defensive end will get off of them. Well, they release and go into a flat. Nobody's there. Nobody's, you know, accounted for, you know, the tight end. And they catch it and they turn it up for 20-yard gains. So, you know, this would be a great week to set in with the offensive coaches putting together a game plan, you know, with Gary and Parsons and these pass rushers and all that, run at them. And then when you get them wore out, then you start throwing to the tight ends. Oh, it's going to be fascinating. And I got to tell you, even though next Saturday afternoon is a little bit of a snoozer with the Eagles and the
Commanders,
you know, obviously the Eagles be favored by a bunch. Nobody really cares about that game. That Saturday night game, I'm just telling you.
On the lakefront right here, I tell you, you're talking about the word spectacular.
Yes.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, the Saturday night before Christmas, the viewership is going to be off the charts. And, hey, this is a great spot for the Bears. You couldn't have went back in May when they bring the schedule out and say, okay, this is the way I want it to be laid out. You know, we played a bunch of horrible teams early, got some cheap wins, and then now
got some momentum going.
There you go. And now here we are on the cusp of this pre-playoffs.
Yeah.
And these three, again, the playoffs don't matter. It's about Green Bay. Everything is about Green Bay. And then we'll see what happens, then have to adjust, whatever. But just imagine. And let me just say this real quick, OB, and I don't know how often, you know, I think my daughter brought this up. I said, you know, next week we're playing great. She goes, we just played them. Well, it's a little bit of an abnormality for you to play somebody in your division 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Okay. You play there and then you got another game and then you play them again. And I'll never forget Vince Tobin. He was our coordinator when Buddy Ryan left to go to Philadelphia. He came in. One of the things, it was the same deal. We had to play Minnesota on a back-to-back thing like that. And he talked about it and he said they did a study on it because in Canada where he came from, you know, the Canadian leagues, there's not many teams. You do this a lot. He said even the really good teams had a losing record in these close back-to-back games against even deficient opponents. So, you know, in my mind, And again, we're watching Green Bay out of the corner of her eye. They're struggling in Denver. They're trying to score. They're down by 1 point. But the point being is, we could be favored in this game because of a lot of different factors.
All right, a couple of minutes left. Let me get you really updated quickly on some of the scores. A lot of these afternoon games have gone to the half. Packers up 16-14 on the Broncos. That game is now at the half. The Lions have gone up by a touchdown on the Rams, 24-17, also at the half. Colts are leading the Seahawks 13-6 in Seattle. Phillip Rivers makes the start. First half, 10 of 16 for 81 yards and one touchdown. He was sacked one time as well. Also to the half, the 49ers surviving the Titans to this point. It is a 17-10 game in favor of San Francisco. Also just in the fair and equity, the Panthers do lead the Saints 10-7. That game has just kicked off in the second half. Tonight, an interesting matchup as well as the Vikings take on the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. The week wraps up with the Dolphins and the Steelers. We wrap up with a 31-3 win by the Bears over the Cleveland Browns. And let's remind you again, next Saturday night is when we're going to be on with you next at 6 p.m. We'll go till 6 till 7 for the pregame show. And we'll come on after, hopefully, a Bears win over the Packers on the lakefront. That'll be around 10:30. We'll take you till midnight that evening.
So, folks, go out and buy your New York strips and fillets. Cook early.
Yep.
And be
send
ready
some of the scraps
the
to us. Send some of the scraps to us so we can have some fun along with y'all. So that'd be fun. But that's when we'll talk to you next. Coming up next Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Hey, the fun starts now, right? Three weeks.
It does. And again, the 14 games that we've just went through and watched, dissected, throw them all out the window because what happens the next 3 weeks are the only thing that matter.
All right. Big thanks to Sammy, Eli, and Jack working as hard as they always do on the other side of the glass.
Great job.
And our engineer, Brett, tonight again. 6 o'clock next Saturday night for the pregame show as Hampton will be our on the air before the Bears and the Packers from Soldier Field on Saturday Night Football. Hampton OB has been sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hey, football fans, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk.
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.